Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching. This is episode 333. In cricket, that would be called a triple Nelson. Explanations can be found on Google. We're continuing our series called One Thing I Ask. This is part 7. It was all based on Psalm 27. And if you haven't already done so, you might want to listen to the first episode, which gives you some background on this wonderful psalm. Today we're in verse 6. It reads, "Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." Well, David is continuing to talk to the Lord about his challenges and about his hopes. And he hopes and trusts that his head will be exalted. What does that mean? Well, victory is the tone of this part of the psalm. And his head being exalted is evidence in his mind's eye, in his prayerful hope for his future. Exalted above the enemies who currently surround him. His head being exalted is a term, a Hebrew idea, referring to the head as the source of life. It's the source of his life. It's not about the intellect here. So lifting up the head is a way of granting life in the sense of success, success in this context over his enemies. As it says in the New Bible Dictionary, "The head is not regarded as the seat of the intellect, but as the source of life." Matthew 14, verse 8, John 19, verse 30. Lifting up the head is to grant life and to expect much of God himself. So he trusts this will be the case. And in faith, he says that at the sacred tent, he will sacrifice with shouts of joy. So he's expressing his confidence in God that the day will come when he's able to go back to that tabernacle tent denied to him currently back in Jerusalem to sacrifice there. He wants to sacrifice and trusts that he will to the right Lord at the right place with the right spirit. His sacrifice is a willing one. Romans 12, verse 1. "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." See, in view of God's mercy, previously experienced and in hope, anticipated, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is a willing one. A dead sacrifice has no part to play in its sacrifice, but a living sacrifice makes the choice to continue to be a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your true and proper worship. And this is the tone, the essence of what David is expressing here is, I wish to sacrifice. I'm not doing this reluctantly or under compulsion, but I am going to do this with shouts of joy. His shouts of joy. You know, this was something about David, wasn't it? His rejoicing was loud. It was uninhibited and it was prolonged. It was exuberant. Remember 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14 to 17? David is there wearing this linen ephod, dancing before the Lord with all his might. Israel's bringing up the ark. There are shouts and the sound of trumpets. Others, like his wife, despise him, of course, because he's leaping and dancing. But God does it. God does not despise that. God honors that. And David delights in it as he sacrifices burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Shouts of joy in anticipation still. Remember, he's not yet had his vindication, but he trusts it will come. And thus he says, I will sing and make music to the Lord. Because David, we know, was a musician, playing his harp and singing and writing hymns, as one presumes, psalms, as we presume, hymns to be sung. As the one of the commentaries I read for this put it, he's filled with faith in God's deliverance. Hasn't seen it, but he's filled with faith. And so he looks forward to triumphantly singing God's praises in his sanctuary. His anticipated deliverance inspires him to sing. the kind of song that was sung by the Israelites in Exodus 15 and verse 1, when Moses and the Israelites sing the song, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver, he has hurled into the sea." That kind of song. That kind of song, of course, was sung after the deliverance had been experienced. David is already wanting to sing this song even prior to his deliverance. Singing is part of what it means to be a Christian, really. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, and I love this translation, this is the NASB, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Isn't that great? Making melody with your heart to the Lord. The gratitude, the thanksgiving for deliverance experienced and deliverance anticipated leads us to sing together, making melody with your heart to the Lord. That seems to sum up David in this psalm and in so many other parts of his writings. So what are the lessons, perhaps, from this verse? His head will be exalted, he will sacrifice, he offers shouts of joy, and he will sing. So I suppose what comes to my mind is the question as to how much I praise God in advance for the victory that he has guaranteed. It's easy to praise, to sing, and to shout for joy once you've received what you need. But what about doing it in advance? Praising in advance of victory. And in the end, as Christians, we will have some victories on this earth, but the ultimate victory over death is not going to be experienced until we die. So praising God in advance of that victory, of knowing that I will worship him in the heavenlies and in the new heavens and the new earth, can I not shout and sing for joy now in anticipation of that? And another question might be, what inspires you to sing? Singing isn't everybody's cup of tea, so to speak. Not everybody feels comfortable singing. Not everybody feels they're a competent singer. That's okay, and we can acknowledge that. But singing is still part of the normal human condition, especially for a Christian. So what inspires you to sing at your best, whether you're tuneful or not? But what inspires you? Do you put energy into your singing, into your expressed worship? What helps you to do that? What fills up and inspires you with the gratitude and the joyfulness that helps you with that? And could you cultivate that more so that when you come, especially perhaps together in your local faith community, when you come together to sing, what would then help you to be able to sing with all your heart? I wonder what you think about that. I'd like to know your thoughts. Well, we'll conclude today's podcast with a song I wrote using the words of Psalm 27 and verse 4. And next week we'll proceed with the 7th verse of the psalm. And in the meantime, please leave your comments on this week's topics. Leave them publicly so that we can all read them, because we learn best when we learn in community. If you've got any questions about the Bible, drop me a line. malcolm@malcolmcox.org is the email. Or you can contact me on the website, which is malcolmcox.org. And if you sign up for my weekly newsletter, you'll get a copy of my free ebook on spiritual disciplines, if you'd like it. It's called How God Grows His People. And please, if you know anybody that might benefit from this, pass the link on, subscribe, and maybe even leave a review. And I do hope that you're able, together with David, to enjoy anticipating the victory, trusting that your head will be exalted, that you will sacrifice with shouts of joy, and enjoy singing and making music to the Lord. Till the next time, take care and God bless. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to see